my mind on you, and everywhere I turn is a reminder. Welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with a worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. Today's Bible lesson, can Christians imitate the Lord? Can Christians imitate the Lord? Well, the iconic movie, The Breakfast Club, follows five high school students from different social cliques as they spend a Saturday together in detention. It reveals some of the inner struggles of teens as they wrestle with independence. One of the classic interactions in the movie occurs between Molly Ringwald and Ally Sheedy. Molly says, "I'll never be like my parents." And Ally Sheedy looks at her and says, "Yes, you will. It's inevitable." In teen years, we seek independence. Yet as we age, we find ourselves thinking and saying things we learned from our parents. Children are human video recorders who watch and imitate their parents. In today's lesson, as we transition to the study of Ephesians chapter 5, our divine parents, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ, encourage us to be like them. Well, let's hear some music. John, who was described as an apostle whom Jesus loved, had this to say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He said, "This is the message I heard from the Lord Jesus Christ and announced to you, that God the Father is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." As children of God, we believers in Christ are imitating him when we do as June Murphy suggests in song, when we walk in the light.
To walk in the light as he is in the light, you must be born again. As believers in Christ, we are children of God, and in fellowship we are with him. He has cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. The word says this is true. We are his royal priests, holy, blameless in Christ. Yes, we have been made new. Although we try our best to, we won't live a sinless life, but we're always in his presence. Can't ever leave his light. The Father, Son, and Spirit will always have our backs. We are filled with the Spirit, ever filled with the Spirit, that his power say that we have no sin, to say we'll never sin again. We say that our God lies, but we can choose not to sin, though tempted time and again. By amazing grace we realize unbelievers can't see, in the dark they will be their children.
they can choose to believe that in that light they will see, they'll see life through God's eyes. To know God is life, the plan is perfect and right, and He has chosen me to walk in the light as He is in the light, so Christ can live through me. To know I'm dead to sin, consider this within as absolutely true, and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in life anew. To walk in the light as He is in the light, we know He forgave our sins, and with God it's always light. Ooh. Yes, we walk in the light.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for the encouragement and the warnings of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And thank you for giving us guidelines for our Christian walk, a lifestyle of love and purity. Thank you for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness. As we learn from your lesson today, help us to remember to put off the lifestyle of darkness and to put on the lifestyle of light, which your Son paid for on our behalf. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Say it with me. Amen. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, can Christians imitate the Lord? Can Christians imitate the Lord? Well, when my older brother would get mad at his wife, he'd storm out of the house saying, "That does it. I'm going to work." When he was 3 years old, my brother's oldest son, Michael, visited his Chicago family for the first time. He flew out from his home in California to stay with us for a few months. My younger brother and I played hockey in the basement, and Michael always wanted to join in. He'd say, "Play hockey too? Play hockey too?" And we'd say, "No, Michael, you can't play. You'll get hurt." Michael would storm out of the basement saying, "That does it. I'm going to work." Kids love imitating their parents. Well, we continue our study of one of the Apostle Paul's prison epistles, written to the first century believers in Christ at Ephesus, a city in Turkey, in Ephesus chapter 5. Here is the New American Standard translation of today's passage of study, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. It's a continuation of the Lord's suggestions about conduct becoming of a Christian from Ephesians chapter 4. Here it goes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore. Therefore is always a reference to a summation of what occurred before. All these things in chapter 4 being the case. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, Ephesians 5, 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, Ephesians 5, 4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, rather the giving of thanks, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral persons or impure persons nor covetous persons who are idolaters has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God the Father, Ephesians 5, 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God the Father comes on the sons of disobedience, Ephesians 5, 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, Ephesians 5, 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Ephesians 5:10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. Ephesians 5:12, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which they do in secret. Ephesians 5:13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Ephesians 5:14, for this reason it says, awaken, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. What's easy to do when we're studying the Bible is to lose the context of what the Lord is saying to us through His Word. When we extract Bible verses from their context, we get messages that shake us to our core. And this passage is easy to take out of context. So I want to keep the biblical context in mind as we go deeper into the message the Lord is sending to His believers. For example, that last verse, I don't think it was the last verse. Yeah, Ephesians 5:13. I heard people just absolutely distort this. All things become visible when they're exposed to the light, and everything that's in the dark has become light. And what they're really saying legalistically is that if you're doing things that are sinful in the background, out of eyesight, that it's going to come to light. And you're going to get embarrassed. And that's absolutely not the way God works, and especially not with His believers. So that means something completely different. And, you know, there's the other verse that really hit me hard is the Ephesians 5:5 verse, which says, know this with certainty, that no immoral persons or impure persons or covetous persons who are idolaters has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God the Father. And I heard a guy teaching on this, and he was just pounding people about immorality and impurity and covetousness. And all of those are sins, and they're all sins that we engage in as believers in Christ. And he was just relentless about how God is not going to be happy with you if you're impure. And God is not going to be happy with you if you're sexually immoral. And the whole thing is, look, we understand as believers in Christ that we're going to do those things. We understand that we're going to sin after salvation. But we also understand that we became a new person after salvation. And that when we sin, we realize that it's paid for. And we're not going to sin just because every one of our sins are paid for. We're going to realize that that's not what God wants for us. And we're going to learn to ask God the Holy Spirit to help us stop doing it, because we are completely powerless to do that on our own. So I just want to make sure that in this chapter, as you look at it, you just don't take things out of context. Because a lot of these legalistic pastors want to make it seem like if you commit sins as a believer in Christ, you're going to lose your salvation. And that is absolutely not the case. And if you forget that the whole context of the Bible has a whole different group of things to say, then this passage would shake you up a little bit. So Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 are the walk portion of sit, walk, stand. I told you about Watchman Nee putting together a book called Sit, Walk, Stand, where he describes sit in Ephesians 1 to 3, walk in Ephesians 4 and 5, and stand in Ephesians 6. And you'll remember that Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a position in union with Himself at the moment of salvation. Believers in Christ are in Christ through the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. We are to sit in our position in Christ and to enjoy the benefits. We are justified by faith in Christ alone. That's how we become saved. faith in Christ alone, and the gift that God gives us, among the gifts God gives us, is justification. That is, we are legally declared righteous at one moment in time with a result that it stands finished forever. At the moment of salvation, we receive the gift of God's righteousness, so as believers in Christ, we are holy and blameless in God the Father's sight. Now, if you lose that context, then the verses in Ephesians 5, 1 to 14 may bother you a little bit. But if you don't lose that context, you understand that there's a difference between who we are and what we do. Ephesians chapters 4 and 5 teach us the lifestyle the Lord wants for his believers. It's called the walk, the Christian walk. And walk means lifestyle. So as we study Ephesians chapter 5, we must not remove it from the context that includes Ephesians chapter 4. And remember, in the original languages, there were no chapter breaks. So, you know, we have a break between chapter 4 and chapter 5, but really chapter 5, to really understand chapter 5, you really need to go back to the previous couple of verses of 4, because it blends right in. The two things blend right into each other. But we must not remove the things of this chapter from the context of Ephesians 4 and the context of all of Scripture. So what does the Lord want for us in the walk portion of the Christian way of living as we build a lifestyle during the sanctification portion of Christianity? You remember Christianity goes from unbeliever to believer, that's salvation. It goes from immature believer to mature believer, that's sanctification. So what does the Lord want for us in lifestyle? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, it is as prisoners for the Lord then, I, Paul, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. The Lord wants us to build a lifestyle that is an accurate reflection of those who are on his team. God the Holy Spirit is in charge of conforming us to the image of the Son. What is our part in building that lifestyle? In addition to getting in front of men regularly who have the edifying spiritual gifts of evangelism and pastor-teacher, so we hear the gospel message and we learn the word of God on a habitual basis. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 encourages this way. It says, in reference to your former manner of life as an unbeliever, lay aside the old self, that unbeliever self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Ephesians 4, 22. And keep on being renewed in the spirit of your mind. How? By studying the Word of God. Ephesians 4, 24. And then put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and in the holiness of the truth. In other words, don't participate in the deeds of darkness that were part of your former manner of life. Instead, put on, like clothing, the new lifestyle of light that has been given to you as a gift from a gracious God. Here's a question you might ask yourself. Is it suitable for our God to warn you what to stay away from? Is it suitable for God to warn you what to stay away from? The answer is a resounding yes. The Lord uses the Apostle Paul, the same man who taught us about our salvation and our eternal security, to warn us not to forfeit the mental serenity that comes with building a lifestyle of purity. You know, it almost sounds scary when you hear that God wants us to have a lifestyle of purity, because we know ourselves so well that we not only don't do that, we don't even want to do that. So let's continue our study of the Christian walk. The lifestyle the Lord wants for those of us who are in Christ. The lifestyle the Lord wants for us to pick up and put on like clothing. At Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here's what they say. Therefore, believers in Christ, Be imitators of God the Father, because you are his divinely loved children. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in a lifestyle of unconditional love, just as the Lord Jesus Christ also loved you unconditionally and gave himself up as a substitute for us. He was an offering and a sacrifice to God the Father as a fragrant aroma. God is unconditional in his love for us. That means no conditions. He expects nothing of you. He doesn't require anything of you. Why? Because he's doing everything for us. What he wants for us believers in Christ is that we develop a lifestyle of unconditional love as well. That when we see others in our life who are acting like buttheads, that we treat them with the dignity and respect and the love that God treats us with. And why would he want us to do that? Well, because we're children of God, because we're divinely loved ones, because we are possessions of God that have been purchased with a price, and the price was the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lifestyle of unconditional love is one that is pleasing to God, that's described as a fragrant aroma, and one that is both supportive of and edifying of others. A lifestyle with the foundation of unconditional love is a lifestyle of purity. Purity is the avoidance of things that pollute and contaminate our lifestyle, which we certainly know is what Satan wants for believers in Christ. We are to be holy as our God is holy. When we are pure in our approach to life, we are walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and to the calling with which we have been called. Children imitate their parents. What better thing for an imperfect Christian to do than to imitate the perfect God? Yet to be clear, if you imitate the Lord, it does not make you Christ-like any more than imitating your parents makes you parent-like. Imitating the Lord ensures that you are keeping yourself out of harm's way in Satan's kingdom. As believers in Christ, what we want God the Father to say about us is what he says about his Son in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "This is my beloved Son, my divinely loved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We are his children too. Is he well pleased with your conduct? What are the things of the old lifestyle of unbelief that Christians are to avoid? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. But sexual immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And saints is a reference to us believers in Christ. Ephesians 5:4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Rather, there needs to be the giving of thanks. That's what's proper. In other words, we avoid conduct that is not becoming of the lifestyle to which believers in Christ have been called. Well, what conduct are we to avoid? What conduct are we to put off? Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, and coarse jesting. Sexual immorality and impurity were rampant in first century culture and in the first century church. And they've grown unabated to this very day. Wife swapping, orgies, pederasty were common in the first century. Sexual immorality includes fornication, which is premarital sex, and adultery, which is sex with someone who is not your spouse when you are married. Impurity is anything that is toxic to the Christian way of living. Greed is one of those sins. Covetousness is another one of those sins. Wanting something that you don't have that belongs to somebody else. In essence, these are the sins of an uncontrolled appetite. These sins do not reflect the fruit of the Spirit, especially the fruit of self-control in our relationship with God. These are the sins of darkness, and they have no place with the children of light. Paul admonishes us not to even let things like this come up in our lifestyles. There are sins of the tongue as well. Filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting. This is a mirror worth looking into. When I read this part, I thought, God, I silly talk and coarse jest all the time. So I guess I got to look at how I say things and what I'm saying. Filthiness, not so much. Okay, well, yeah, maybe. It would be interesting to have a transcription of what comes out of our mouths. Would we be proud of these things? The answer is, of course, not always. When people listen to you, do they hear a reflection of the Lord? Do they hear you imitating him? If not, ask God the Holy Spirit to do something about it for you. Let's be clear. As Christians, when our kids do things we're not proud of, it's not our practice to discard them as if they are garbage. Many Christians do that, though. When they find out that people in their lives sin, especially sins that they don't approve of, then they discard them like they're garbage. I've seen that happen a lot of times with friends of mine who engage in homosexuality. Their parents disown them as if somehow what their sexual choice is a reflection of the parents or their parenting. It isn't. It's a choice. It's a choice like going to a restaurant. And, well, actually going to a restaurant isn't a sin unless you eat too much. But so bad analogy, but the point is clear that each of us gets to choose how we want to live our lives, and some of those choices are sinful. And that is not God's preference for us, but it doesn't give us as human beings the right to say, my sins are better than your sins. I'm an honorable sinner, you're a dishonorable sinner. That's really a ridiculous way to treat people that you say you care about. So it's a convenient practice to dismiss people who sin when you forget how many of your sins the Lord forgave. Yet the truth is, we don't want our children being poor reflections of the training they have received. We did not train our kids to gravitate to sinful lifestyles in word or in deed. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. For this, you believers in Christ know with certainty that no immoral persons or impure person nor covetous person, those who are idolaters, has an inheritance in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Ephesians 5, 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God the Father comes upon the sons of disobedience. And of course, the sons of disobedience are the children of wrath. They are unbelievers. Ephesians 5, 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. As believers in Christ, our partnership is with a holy God. Our partnership is not with unbelievers who practice the sins mentioned earlier, as a lifestyle, sexual immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, and coarse jesting. Lifestyles. God is light. And what he wants for his believers is that we keep on developing a lifestyle of light, a lifestyle that can withstand the scrutiny of the light. In the first century, many unbelievers encouraged believers in Christ to take advantage of grace. This was the thing in verse 6 about let no one deceive you with empty words. So what they would say to believers is, since you're saved by grace, you can sin as much as you want with no consequence. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 discourages that practice. It says, what shall we believers in Christ say then? Are we to continue sinning because we know that God's grace may increase? Romans 6, 2. May it never be. Absolutely not. How shall we believers in Christ, the children of a king, who died to sin as an established fact at the moment of our salvation, still live a sinful lifestyle as if sin is our master. Darkness is not the lifestyle God wants for his children. These three verses warn us not to be partners with people who practice lifestyles of unbelief and lawlessness. Well, when we return from the break, we'll take the offering and then we'll continue the study of the first passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Take a 5-minute break.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Going down in history.
Has another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Just a nobody,
nobody
trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, can Christians imitate the Lord? Can Christians imitate the Lord? Well, Zig Ziglar, author, salesman, and motivational speaker once said, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to present you with one of the ways to receive everything you want by giving.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? You might want to check the... You hear me? My name is Deacon Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon here at Brahe Ministries because of Brahe Ministries, I've learned that religion is about work, and Christianity is a relationship about love. And I think love gets forgotten a lot, especially our love for God. I think most of us would agree that love changes the way we live. If you love your family, you show up for them. If you love your spouse, you listen and sacrifice, at least most of the time. And if you love your kids, you don't just say it, you prove it. Usually by spending money on things you never thought you'd buy, like Nerf guns and 1,000 stuffed animals. Love always moves us towards action. That's exactly what Jesus was getting at in John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He wasn't laying down another rule for us to struggle with. He was reminding us that love is the foundation of obedience. With that in mind, here are three things to remember as we prepare to give. Obedience without love quickly turns into obligation, and obligation doesn't last long. If you've ever done the dishes just because someone told you to, you know how half-hearted that feels. But when love is the root, obedience becomes natural. You don't need to be forced to do something for someone you love. You want to. Our giving works the same way. It's not meant to be pressured or grudging, but an overflow of the love we have for Christ. And when you think about life, distractions are everywhere. Our jobs, our responsibilities, our worries, and let's be honest, sometimes we forget the important stuff. Some of us can't even remember where we left our phone 5 minutes ago. In the noise, it's easy to lose sight of the Lord. That's why giving is such a powerful practice. It resets our focus. Each offering is like saying, Lord, I haven't forgotten about you. I love you, and I'm putting you first again. Jesus didn't just tell us he loved us. He showed it by laying down his own life. Real love always takes shape in action. It's like if your spouse says, if you love me, take out the trash. You can't just respond with, well, honey, I love you in my heart. That won't cut it. You got to move. In the same way, when we give, it's more than an act of generosity. It's a declaration that our love for Christ isn't hidden, it's visible. So here's the reminder. Love always moves into action. Just like we started with, whether in our families, our friendship, or our faith, love is proven by what we do. And in giving, we're simply living out Jesus' words. If you love me, keep my commandments. Today, let our offering be more than a routine. It can be the evidence of our love for him and for this ministry. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Denny. Today's Bible lesson, can Christians imitate the Lord? Can Christians imitate the Lord? Well, you remember the structure that surfaced in our study last week. When the Lord communicates the lifestyle he wants us to build, he instructs us this way. Don't do this, do this instead, and here's why. Let's continue our verse-by-verse study at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. It says, for you believers in Christ were formerly darkness when you were unbelievers, but now you are children of light in union with the Lord. Therefore, all these previous things being true, walk in the lifestyle children of light would walk. Don't do darkness. Do light instead. It's the right way to walk. How do children of the light walk? It's a fruit of the Spirit walk, Ephesians 5, 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, Ephesians 5, 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. As believers in Christ, we want our lifestyles to be fragrant aromas, totally pleasing to God the Father. What's easy to miss, and why legalists have a field day with this passage, is they ignore the were and are aspect of it. We were unbelievers. And when we were unbelievers, all the things in this passage that apply to unbelievers were true of us. All of us. When we were in the darkness, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 remind us of this. And all of you, all mankind, were spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 2. In which trespasses and sins you believers in Christ formerly walked as a lifestyle according to the course of this world, the world system curriculum, according to the command of the prince of the power of the air, Satan, with the same spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, and that is a spirit that is in rebellion against the Lord. We were sons of disobedience. Now we are made into completely new beings by God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in union with Christ, and all believers in Christ are, there is a new creation. The old things passed away. They died. Behold, new things have come. So our being comes first. Who we are comes first. What we do, our lifestyle, follows our being. In the sanctification portion of the Christian way of living, we learn what to do as we are taught by God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we believers in Christ are God the Father's workmanship. That's who we are. Created to be in union with Christ, in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God the Father prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So there it is. We were being first, and then we do. We have works. That's the way God laid it out. So as a friend of mine would say, let's not get it twisted. As believers in Christ, we are saved. We have new clothes. We don't walk before we are in Christ. We don't walk before we sit. We walk after we are in Christ. We sit and then we walk. So let's not go back to the old lifestyle of darkness before we sit in our position and put on dirty clothes. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. Ephesians 5, 12. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which they do in secret. Orgies, wife swapping, homosexuality, you name it, we can sin it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 say this, "But you, brethren, believers in Christ, are not in darkness, that the day of the Lord would overtake you like a thief." 1 Thessalonians 5:5, "For you believers in Christ are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night, nor are we of darkness." So don't get it twisted. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. "But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light." This is not a reference to sins. This is a reference to our being. One day soon, it's going to become obvious the difference between those who are in the darkness and those who are in the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. "For this reason," it says, "awaken, sleeper, and arise from the spiritually dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, this is a double meaning. It talks to the unbeliever, and it says, arise from the spiritually dead and become spiritually alive. But the Lord wants us believers in Christ not to be lulled to sleep by the kingdom of darkness so that we seem to be partners with them. And so it's telling us too, awaken, sleeper. Don't be lulled to sleep by the kingdom of darkness. Instead, by following the Lord's lifestyle instructions, we make it clear to others the difference between those of us who are in the light and those of us who are in the darkness. All right, so here's the New Living Translation of the passage. And this always gives a nice topical overview of what we just studied. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. It says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, believers in Christ, because you are his dear children." Ephesians 5, 2. "Live a life filled with unconditional love, imitating the example of Christ. He loved us unconditionally, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for us, which was a pleasing aroma to God the Father." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people." What does that mean? It means pornography is out. It means if you're engaging in that, stop it, please. That imaging is not good for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. "Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you believers in Christ either. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God coming from your mouth for all that he did for you." Ephesians 5, 5. "You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy persons will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God the Father. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we choose not to worship the things of the world." Ephesians 5, 6. "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. For the anger of God, his wrath, will fall on all who disobey him." And that's a reference to unbelievers. Ephesians 5, 7. Don't participate in these things. These people do. Ephesians 5, 8. "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light." Ephesians 5, 9. "For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true." Ephesians 5:10. "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord." Ephesians 5:11. "Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." Ephesians 5:12. "It's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people, unbelievers, do in secret." Ephesians 5:13, "But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them." Ephesians 5:14, "For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awaken, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Can Christians imitate the Lord? through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, we can and we must. Well, the next 10 minutes could be the 10 most important minutes of your life. You'll be introduced to the good news concerning how you can spend an eternity in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. We want you to know that God wants you. And what he wants for you is that you make the most important decision of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ gave you a powerful weapon and a perfect gift at the moment of your physical birth. Choice. You get to choose the life you want to live. The life you are living right now is the sum of all the decisions you have made so far. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe and the Savior of all mankind, says there are only two choices for your eternal future. Either heaven, which is the small gate and the narrow way, or the lake of fire, which is the wide gate and the broad way. And these are described in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many people who enter through the wide gate into the lake of fire. Ephesians 7:14. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life into heaven. And there are few who find the small gate. Most people choose the broad way according to the Lord. Which road will you choose for your eternal life? You have the chance to be the eternal hero of your own life by making the right choice. Those who are on the broad way that leads to destruction believe there is safety in numbers. It's not true. Believing what everyone else believes does not save you. Learning the truth saves you. Placing your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation saves you. The Lord Jesus Christ is 100% God. That's why we call him Lord. He's 100% man. He's human, just like you and me, and that's why we call him Jesus. And he is the promised Messiah, and that's why we call him the Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, he is the small gate which makes him your guide to heaven. Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the gospel message and the word of God, and I am the resurrection life, eternal life. And no one comes to God the Father in heaven but through believing in me. God the Father's plan for your life is simple. Believe. And in his Son, believe in his Son, and it is your ticket to eternal life. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved by God, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Those on the broad way that leads to destruction place their confidence in liars. The Lord Jesus Christ warns about them in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of the false prophets, those are false teachers, who come to you in sheep's clothing, appearing harmless, who inwardly are ravenous wolves out to destroy your eternal future. As ravenous wolves, false teachers want you to choose to follow a false gospel message. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 illuminates the issue. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, and the way that seems right to men is saving themselves by thinking good deeds will earn their salvation. But its end is the way of death. And that means the second death in the lake of fire. The Lord Jesus Christ offers the true gospel message and an invitation to be saved in John chapter 3, verse 36, which also includes a warning. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life, eternal life, right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Right where you sit, right now, you can tell God the Father that you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, and that is the moment of eternal life for you. Who is this God who saves you? The Apostle Paul describes the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. It says, I, Paul, deliver to all of you, as of primary importance, the gospel message I also received from God, that it was Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures. God's enemy, Satan, is the sponsor of false teachers, false teaching, and the false gospel message. You have to be able to discern the difference between God's truth and Satan's lies. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, which is the word of God from a true teacher, then you are truly disciples of mine. John 8, 32, and you will know the truth, the true gospel message, and the truth will make you free. Another warning for those who choose the broad way is Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven by obeying the gospel message will enter heaven. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me on that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not cast out demons? And in your name did we not perform many miracles? Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. And then I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me into the lake of fire, you who keep on practicing a lifestyle of lawlessness. Don't wait until it's too late to consider what road you're on. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent. Change your mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in his gospel message. The will of God the Father is that you believe in his Son so you can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who choose the narrow way have decided that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the only ticket to heaven. Get off the broad way that leads to destruction. Get on the narrow way that leads to life, eternal life in heaven, right this minute. Jesus is ready to save you. Well, let's close with music. As you know, there's absolutely no way any human being could ever accurately be described as Christ-like. Today, the Lord tells us in Scripture that we can be imitators of God by reflecting his person, his values, and his standards. Marcus and Carolina Akins describe this beautifully in their song, Imitators. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for reminding us who we are in Christ. And thank you for helping us get clear on the tenets of this passage, that as believers in Christ, we are not sons of disobedience. We are children of light. So we don't lose sight of what your Son did for us at the cross, paying for all our sins with his blood. Simultaneously, we remember not to act like we acted in the darkness, being blown about by every wind and following the suggestions of the kingdom of darkness. Instead, we walk as children of light walk, imitating our perfect God in thought, word, and deed, under the direction of God the Holy Spirit, who produces his fruit in us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Say it with me. Amen. The announcements, make it a habit to listen to them. They're posted separately. Keep current on the things going on and coming up in Barah Ministries. Discussing the lesson in prayer circle, join us live or on Zoom immediately following the lesson. Got biblical questions? Ask the pastor. Pastor at BarahMinistries.com. Want us to pray for someone? Send your request to pastor at BarahMinistries.com. Keep on studying the Word of God daily. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.